This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting a chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey.
Dude.
Yeah.
Little bit of a twist. You can go ahead and throw that rundown out. Can tear that thing up.
Well, let me just ask you right now, and if you're just joining us and you're just tuning in, wow! I hope you're in a dry space because it's a lot out there. So I think you're going to be fine, depending on where you are. But just slow down. That's the only thing I try to say to people in situations like this. Call your boss, call your spouse, and just let them know. It could be a little late. Just take your time out there. It's pretty intense, but really glad you're with us. Okay, Brock Purdy's not playing in Green Bay. At least we have that definition. We're not going to do the walk up till game time. See, Nick Bosa is out as well. So the most important player on your offense is out. Most important player on your defense is out. I know those are debatable, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what is your thought on how you approach this game mentally? Green flag or white flag?
Oh, it's green flag.
Okay.
You're 5-5. If it was 8-2, it would be white flag. Or if you're 7-3, you could white flag it or yellow flag it. Oh, I was waiting for the, waiting for it. Exactly. I didn't want to step on the all-important can opening.
We need one today.
Yeah, we do.
Wow.
If you're 5-5 and you know that you need to probably win 5 of the last 7 to have a chance, realistically, 10-7, I don't think 9-8 gets it done. So you don't have a chance to white flag or yellow flag or black flag, red flag. There's only one flag you have, and it's green flag. And it's, hey, Brandon, we brought you in because we believe in your ability to win a game. Not lead us to a 10-7 year. Win a game, and he had practice Thursday. He had practice today. He's being readied to be the man, and he still has Debo and George. I don't believe George is on the list. You got Christian. You got Jawan. You got Ricky. You've got enough to where you should still be able to go out there and compete and maybe win this game. It's a green flag.
I'm with you, but that's an interesting way to sort of phrase it, what you just said. I think that comes from the fact that we follow this team and you know it inside and out. I would venture to guess that normally when someone who has no dog in the fight, when they open up the schedule for the weekend in the NFL and you see spreads that are north of 5 or 6 points, you do not think that that underdog is likely to compete and keep it close. And I'd also argue there are different kinds of 5, 6, 7 point underdogs. This one happens to not be because, you're a lesser team, if you will. This one is because you're in a lesser situation. Like, Brandon Allen, I would argue, pretty much knew he was going to start this game at about 2:30 yesterday,
right?
Which means he got about, like, 11 minutes of practice that day and then practice today in the rain. That's how long he's had. And I know his job is to be ready, and I'm with you. I'm agreeing with you. But I am not expecting the 49ers to go out there and show well on Sunday. I hope, yeah. But I certainly wouldn't use the word expect.
I think that he got more practice time than that because Brock went out after session two on Thursday, and on Wednesday, Brock didn't throw at all.
That's true.
So it feels like he got more of a, hey, I mean, it looks like it might be kind of a week, and then today, no Brock at all, and so he got today as well.
Still thought he was going to be the backup, though. On Wednesday, the team clearly thought Brock was going to be fine.
Maybe, but Brock didn't throw. Right. So at the very least, if Brandon's out there, he's being told, like, it's pretty obvious that Brock's not throwing and you are, so there's at least a maybe. I'm not saying that one extra day makes it so, hey, now the Niners should win because he got 3 days of practice and not one and a half. They're up against it, but I do think it's interesting that looking at the betting markets, it's now leveled off at 5.5.
Okay.
When the news broke, it jumped from 2.5 to 5.5, and it looked like it was about to go to 6. But since then, money's come back in on the Niners, and it right now is dead even in terms of the odds.
Yep, 5.5.
Right, yeah. But it's -110, -110 either way.
Did you happen to take note of what the over-under did? I'm curious on that, too. Like, is it expected to be a lower-scoring game now?
I didn't really note where it was. Yeah. I see that it's now at 44.5.
44.5,
yeah. Which I think, I want to feel like it's always been about there based on the weather, you know? And
weather's supposed to largely, I mean, Green Bay speaking, it's supposed to be fine.
Right, better than last night.
Yeah, mid-40s, dry.
Right, and Not being a night game, you probably won't get that late,
well, it is
that late
of,
snow that we got last night.
It's
in that
kind
game.
Of a night game there. It starts at 4:30, or I guess 3:30
yep.
their time. Mm-hmm. That's a dark second half. That's a nighttime second half.
Right. But I was thinking about last night where that game started at 8:30 or 8:15, and by 10:45, that thing was a whiteout.
Yeah, the whole game changed colors in the second half.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I remember saying to you when you asked me why I like the Browns, one of my four reasons was weather's an equalizer, and I had heard it was going to snow, and I got home and turned the game on. I'm like, how's the snow?
Right.
Like, there's I see, like, a little flurry. There's, like, I saw a little piece of snow go across at one time. And then the second half, I'm like, oh.
There we go.
There it is.
Cue the snow.
I found it.
But what's funny is that's when the points came.
Yep.
When the snow came, the points came.
Sometimes that makes it harder on a defense, by the way. And also, I don't know, I hope everybody knows this, like, do you know that when you turn on the TV and you can still see the yard lines, you all know that's superimposed on TV, right? Like, you can't see a damn thing. If you're a player, if you're a fan at that game, you have no idea where the hell they are. You're like, well, they look sort of, maybe kind of 35-ish.
I'm glad you're saying this because
they have no clue where they are.
I was picturing during TV timeouts a series of Oompa Loompas who would, like, hustle across with mini shovels.
Dude, you know what went through my head? My head was like, I wonder if they put heaters under the yard line, and it melts the snow. And then I find out, I'm like, oh, yeah, no, that's just draw. That's somebody's got crayons,
okay,
and they drew on the TV screen.
Yeah.
They can't see what the hell's going on. So it turns into a total mess for their offense and the defense.
Anyway, no snow in Green Bay, no Brock in Green Bay, no Bosa in Green Bay on Sunday. Wow. You're 5-5, and two of your, I don't know, six most important players?
And maybe no Trent.
Right.
Trent is at best, we're going to get word.
Well, that'd be three of your top six.
I don't even think, I'd predict right now based on Trent, I don't know how many of y'all do this. Do y'all do the Adam Schefter thing at like midnight on Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? If you're a fantasy football player, you got to do three people. It's Schefter, Rappaport, and Pelissero. You got to go to their Twitter feeds like at about 11 p.m. and sometimes even later because they're on the phone with agents and executives and they get the word of like, this person is not expected to play tomorrow, or this person is expected to play, and then sometimes you get a, it's a true, we don't know, we'll find out in pregame warmups, and that's what I bet we're going to get on Trent.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I think it'll be him going out there. He probably gets ready to play, gets the shot, and goes out in pregame warmups, and you're going to see how it feels. It's pain tolerance, and I do think that he would be more likely to go now based on the fact that you don't have your starting quarterback and you don't have your wide receiver already. Your tight end is probably going to be a little bit hampered coming back from his injury. You got to be out there if you're Trent.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
Because doesn't it feel right now like you'd love to actually see what everybody was asking for come Monday, which was, can we see Christian and Jordan Mason? Can we do both? And if it's November, and it's late November, and it's 40-something degrees, and it's damp because at least the runoff of the snow that happened yesterday, and you don't have your quarterback, I don't know. Run the ball seems like a good idea. And if you're going to run it 30 to 35 times, that doesn't sound like a one-person job to me.
No, it sounds like you need your best left tackle as well. And that's where you've gotten the most yards historically on the ground is behind Trent Williams. So if you don't have Trent and you already have a little bit of vulnerability with your center and your left guard, your right guard's been great, your right tackle not so much, where are you going to run the ball? Who are you going to run behind to try to get these yards against a Green Bay team that pretty much knows you're going to want to run it with a backup quarterback under center? And, you know, maybe it's time to do our Brandon Allen homework and start to queue up some tape on Brandon Allen, see exactly what he can do.
Brandon Allen is what I would sort of, what I know of him, and you're right that we haven't seen him in quite some time in the NFL. But from what I know with his time in Cincinnati and whatnot, I would sort of like term Brandon as a solid backup.
With a question mark.
No, like, I mean, middle of the road type backup quarterback in the NFL. Yes, somebody who can, you know, he can move the ball a little bit. He's not your best backup in the NFL. He's not your worst. But no, this is like, there's no tiptoeing around this. This is a terrible situation. And it might not be this week only.
Yeah.
The 49ers, don't forget this now, in 11 days, they're on Sunday Night Football in Buffalo. You got a long-range forecast on that one?
I'll take a look at it.
That one feels even colder to me.
Yeah, and even snowier, most likely.
So here's Kyle Shanahan on, okay, he's out this week, but what about going forward after that?
I don't want to say there's long-term concern. You know, we got the MRI on Monday. We thought he just needed some rest, and really weren't concerned about him not being good this week. But when he started up Thursday, just surprised him, surprised us how it felt. So we had to shut him down, and so I really don't know what to think of it. You know, the MRI doesn't look like that, so it should be all right. But the way it responded this week, it's really up in the air for next week. So we'll have to see on Monday.
Okay. You ready for your Sunday, December 1st, long-range forecast for Buffalo, New York?
Yeah, 27 and flurries is my prediction.
I got 33 degrees and a 30% chance of precipitation.
Which would mean snow, or at least slush or sleet.
Yep.
No doubt.
And remember, it's a night game. 33 would be the high.
Right.
So that's coming at about 2 o'clock. They're starting this game local time at 8:20.
And you realize that 30% chance of rain does not mean 30% chance of rain in that spot. It means 30% of the people in that area will get rain. That's what the percentages mean.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's something I learned last year.
So, like, if you're a crowd, like, maybe only the people who are between the 40s?
That's right.
They get precipitation.
And if you're at Levi's, it's a 30% chance of blindness, and it's only those people on the sunny side.
All right.
What happened?
I think the only question for people, and by the way, just so you know, this show's yours today. Not that it isn't always, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we got a Warrior game here in a couple hours, and so Warriors Live starts in an hour. The Warriors are going to kick the Pelicans' butt here in 2 hours, so that's fun. And we'll take you all the way up to that. But for the next hour, it's 49er football and the fact that they will go to Green Bay without Brock Purdy and without Nick Bosa. So in your mind, 888-957-9570, the emotions of this moment, how you feeling about the season now? Where are you at with regard to this particular season, your emotions around it, what the 49ers should do, how they should play it? You and I walked in here Monday morning to a chorus of some people who were already like, let's check out some young people.
Right.
Let's check out what young people can do now because this season's over. And we're both like, no, it's not. And I think you and I are both still in that camp because Brandon Allen's allowed to win a football game. So I'm not going in. That's my answer. I'm not going anywhere until I see them with my eyes lose both of the next two games. For me, that's how long the conversation, there's no give up, not even a little bit. At least to me, that's when the conversation starts. But some of you might be further along. How do you think the Niners should play this? What do you want to see? Because there's no Brock Purdy this weekend, and there's no Nick Bosa. And your calls are next. 888-957-9570. Safe holiday travel start at Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Your 15-minute drive-through oil change. Expert technicians check fluids, tire pressure, wipers, lights, batteries, and more. For locations and coupons, visit BayAreaOilChange.com. That's BayAreaOilChange.com. All right, your call's next. Willard and Dibs.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Charvarius Ward will be out. Jacob Cowing out. Tatum Bethune out. Kevin Givens out. Nick Bosa out. Brock Purdy out. Trent Williams questionable. Feliciano questionable.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Talk about burying the lead. Thanks, Kyle. I mean, what did he say? I know you're all waiting for the Tatum Bethune announcement.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Brock Purdy is also out. All right. How you feeling about the season? 888-957-9570. There's no Brock Purdy in Green Bay. There's no Nick Bosa in Green Bay. I will take 10 seconds to let you know that it's okay, Bay Area sports fans, because you do have Mike Yastrzemski in right field. The San Francisco Giants and Mike Yastrzemski have agreed on a one-year deal to avoid arbitration. And as Alex Pavlovich writes, this sets their outfield now with Yaz in right, Lee in center, and Ramos in left.
Damn it, Farhan!
Anyway, as we were.
Yeah.
How's your outlook on the season now?
It's as grim as it has been, because you go into Green Bay, and I asked on Monday if I could take Green Bay at the time, -1.5, and I was told I couldn't. But in real gambling, you can, and I did. But in our bit, the Fade the Dibber,
no. Now
I'm riding this thing all the way out until, I don't know, maybe next segment.
About 45 minutes. Right. You got to play this number.
Because now it's jumped to 5.5, and it looks like it's going to hold at 5.5 based on the metrics I'm looking at from the gambling world. And so, you know, where am I at with the Niners' outlook of the season? It still is all dependent on what happens next. And he's not going to play Sunday. I get it. Can you win? You're allowed to. And I'm looking at the money line odds, and they are +200 to win, which means it's a 2-in-1 chance that they don't, which I believe is implied odds of about 33% chance that they win. So let's assume that they lose. They're underdogs for the first time in 2 years. You go to Buffalo. If Brock doesn't play in that game and you lose, well, at that point, you can start thinking about the season really kind of being over, depending on how long Brock is out. If Brock just misses this game, I still feel pretty good about their chances, because he is a huge key to this team.
Well, I mean, technically, if you want to play the math out, even if they lose the next two games, they're totally allowed to go on a 5-game win streak to end the season.
Sure. The math is still there, as you hate when I say, well, but the math would be there.
And there's no divisional losses in there if they lose the next two.
True.
Only one of them's a conference loss. Again, and I don't know when Brock's going to be back, but I can answer it a different way. Because, again, we're just talking opinions here. This does lower my outlook of the season.
Oh, it has to.
100%.
No doubt. You
know, the thought that maybe the 49ers can do this, and maybe they'll capture that, and maybe they'll find themselves, and they'll stop committing all the penalties, and just whatever. I've thought of this 49ers season all year kind of like a golf swing when you're in a slump. You know damn well it's in there, or not even a slump. You ever do this where the driver is just going 30 yards shorter than normal?
And
like, right? And you're like, God, what am I doing? I'm clearly right. My hips are too far, like something. But I know it's in there. It's in there. You just got to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've felt that way all year long about this 49er team. It's in there. You just got to go find it. Well, for as long as Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa, and who knows, maybe Trent Williams, I now don't necessarily believe that it's in there. Doesn't mean that they won't get a good break or have a good game. Doesn't mean that it's not savable. But I do not any longer believe in the, at least for this moment, the personnel of the San Francisco 49ers based on who they're going up against.
It still is in there. If Brock misses one game, then you still, I believe, can say that it is still in there. And the way things could break, Arizona's got Seattle and Minnesota. That could be two losses. They're 6-6. Seattle's got Arizona, and they've got a New York Giants team, which if they split, they're 6-6. The Rams could split and be 6-6, and you could be 5-7. So worst case scenario, or the best of the worst case scenario, no Brock in the next two. You lose both, you're 5-7. You could still be only one game out with five to go.
Why don't we focus in on this particular moment, though? And we see you coming, so we're going to the phones here in just a sec. 888-957-9570. How do you feel about the season outlook now? There is no Brock Purdy. There is no Nick Bosa this weekend in Green Bay. Trent Williams, a question mark. Here's some more from Kyle Shanahan on everything that's in play. First of all, this is what he said about Purdy's progress throughout this week.
This was complaining about how tight it was throughout the game. It started happening throughout the game. That's why he was warming up just a lot more than usual. He said he had a hard time keeping it loose, and then after the game is when it really started to hurt, and then Monday morning is really why he had to go get an MRI for it.
Okay, so that's interesting information, because we're not just talking about the practice week. We're talking about the last game. And for all of the talk about Brock not letting it rip and not seeing it downfield, you start to wonder actually if this shoulder was a part of that decision-making within the game, because he was definitely suffering throughout the game against Seattle.
Yeah, no throws in the last two games, but last game he did have a couple, that, as Greg Cosell laid out to us in our weekly hit with the senior executive from NFL Films, and he saw two or three plays where there were open throws down the field and he just didn't see it. And maybe he saw it, but he didn't feel confident enough in the shoulder
to
let it rip.
Yeah.
So it's one thing to see it. It's another thing to execute it. And if you can't do that, and obviously that's where we are right now. And he had an MRI yesterday. And the fact that he had an MRI tells me that they feel like there's something in there that is wrong. And you don't just get an MRI because you want to check it out. You know, you go through the physical therapy, which he did after practice when he couldn't go anymore, and you get the MRI, and obviously nothing is so bad that they put him on IR or anything like that, but he clearly has something wrong with the shoulder.
Yep, okay, now this is now focusing in on the 49ers, at least for Sunday, the 49ers' new starting quarterback, Brandon Allen. Most of you have probably not seen him play, hasn't really played for two or three years in the league, used to be the Bengals' backup quarterback, has won a few games, but it's been a while. This is what Kyle said with regard to whether or not the game plan changes moving to Allen from Purdy.
Yeah, you know, there's not a big game plan adjustment. You know, this is something that we didn't think would happen early in the week. So we were fully preparing for Brock to go, and getting a little surprised about this on yesterday. Nothing has to change. So that's a good deal for us.
Okay, so short answer is no. Game plan doesn't change.
Right. Okay. I mean, the game plan doesn't change, but I wonder what that means as far as the expectations, because Brandon Allen is a professional quarterback. His last start was in week 18 back in 2022, I believe. And it's a game where, you know, he went out there and played with a bunch of twos against other twos, and he went out and lost, but it doesn't even matter what the result was. He's a guy who hasn't played football, game speed, NFL football in a long, long time. So if you're telling me the game plan doesn't change, then the game plan must have been to not really take a lot of chances and ride your running backs.
I'd also say this, like, shout out to when Cosell said to us, you guys, it's a press conference. One thing that I think Kyle Shanahan and most coaches, when they hear, they immediately shut down, is tell us your game plan. No.
Right.
How about that? No, I'm not telling you. So, no, he's not going to sit there today and be like, yep, we're running the ball now because this guy stinks. He's not going to do that. And I don't even think he feels that way, but he's not going to do that. He was asked if the 2022 season gives him any confidence, the year that they had to play three QBs and ended up in the NFC title game.
I don't think they look at it that way. I mean, it's good to have that story and stuff, but I think why they have hope is because they're with Brandon every single day. So, I mean, I know outside of here, people haven't seen a lot of Brandon because he hasn't had to go in yet. But this is Brandon's second year. They see him on scout team all the time. And, you know, obviously guys want Brock up, but guys are excited to see Brandon play.
Okay. Let's hear from Brandon. Here's a voice you probably never heard before.
Right?
Brandon Allen, who did not really think that he was going to start until he was told today.
Yeah, today, really. I know he had a plan for his shoulder all week. He's going to rest it a little bit on Wednesday, and I think we kind of split reps there on Wednesday. He's going to rest it a little bit, and then I think the plan was Thursday to come out and practice, and you know, I guess just in warm-ups, just wasn't feeling right. So, you know, still expect him to kind of go in, get treatment, come back, but yeah, I kind of found out today.
Okay, and then this is what he said about the specific Green Bay matchup.
Solid defense. Obviously, their defense is a key part why they have a pretty good record, and then they do a great job of forcing turnovers. So it'll be our job to protect the ball, keep it in our guys' hands, and you know that's really throughout the NFL. That's a big key to winning games is protecting the football.
Okay, and are you preparing differently now that you're the starter?
You know, preparation really hasn't changed besides just getting more reps. I think that's really been the only difference this week was actually getting to throw to some of the guys and, you know, getting live reps with JJ, Debo, George, all those guys, Ricky. So that was really the only main difference for me this week.
That's your guy. That's
yep.
Brandon Allen, starting
32-year-old quarterback. Yep.
Quarterback.
He's been a journeyman out of Arkansas, been mostly a career backup. Debuted in 2019. He's made 9 starts. He's 2-7. His last start was back in 2021 with the Bengals,
mm-hmm.
a game where he was not necessarily stellar. He went 15-29 for a 136. Didn't throw a pick, 1 touchdown, and he mentioned the Green Bay Packer defense. They are tied for 5th in takeaways with 19.
Yep.
And, you know, yards against on the average per play, they're in the middle. Yards per pass, yards per rush, all the same. They're a good defense, but what they do a lot is take the ball away, and he is aware of that.
Yep, although Jair Alexander also ruled out for the Packers, he's not playing. I will say this, if you want to like look at the stats, he hasn't started a lot of games, as you said, in his career. He's only played in 16 games. But if you're looking for something, numbers are numbers are numbers are numbers.
Right.
He has, in every single year of his career, thrown more touchdowns than picks. Not normal for a career journeyman backup. It's usually kind of the other way.
Like that was kind of a fun stat.
Thank you.
I mean, Captain Sunshine on a rainy day.
No, but I mean, I think that go do it for Josh Dobbs. Go do it for Josh Dobbs, and let's see what it looks like.
I will, but Brandon Allen, 10 touchdowns in his career, 6 interceptions.
6.
He's got a 3-2, a 5-4, and a 2-0.
I mean, for a career backup, I would argue that like only 6 picks in how many pass attempts does he have in his career?
263. 2.3%, which is pretty good. Brock's this year is about 4, which is also still pretty good.
Josh Dobbs' career 15 touchdowns, 13 picks.
Yeah, Dobbsy.
Yeah, look at that.
And one more win than Brandon Allen.
Yes, correct.
In 5 more starts.
I think both of them are like,
the backups.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, they should be in those commercials with the backup quarterback that comes in and, like, parks the truck or whatever. Like, that's who they are.
And this is where you look last year at Sam Darnold and you think you might have had the best backup in the league.
For sure.
And what he's done this year. And you don't always get to have that guy. Although I saw something earlier today about Daniel Jones being the next 49er backup. Maybe next year or whatever happens to Daniel Jones, but that would be the kind of backup you'd want. Somebody who's actually gone out there and played a bunch.
Yeah, once he clears waivers, they can go get him if they want. You can start him on you. Like, that should happen. When does that happen? Can he be ready by Sunday? I'm kidding. Sushi Steve in the city on Willard and Dibbs. Hey, Steve, what's up?
What's up, guys? I'm just driving on 101, like, floating my car down 101 right now. It's crazy.
Go slow.
Hey, so listen, before I kind of rant, Willard, your dad was my math teacher at Burlingame High School. He was honestly my favorite teacher I ever had in 4 years. So I'm not just saying that. I love Mr. Willard. He was awesome.
Dude, Steve, thank you so much. Did you mention this to me one time before, and then I made you feel old by telling?
I did.
Do you remember how old he is now? I'm gonna see him on Wednesday or Tuesday. Actually, I'm gonna see him next week for Thanksgiving. Yeah, he's 82.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah, he's 82.
Wow, that's amazing.
He's 82 years old.
That makes sense. Hey, so listen, I'm just gonna throw a scenario at you guys, just because, you know, like, I pretty much get all my 49er updates from you guys. I mean, I peruse on the internet, whatever, whenever I have a moment, but it's pretty much from you guys. So, you know, going into this week, we got all these injuries, and you know, I'm not gonna get into the fire Kyle Shanahan thing, even though that's how I kind of feel.
Good.
But I'm not. I
you
get
do?
It. There's no better coach. I'm not going to go there. There's
okay.
better.
All right.
We need him. And but my point is, right now with all the injuries, I mean, I think all those draft picks that we traded away to get Trey Lance, to move up to get Trey Lance, I mean, I think those are going to bite us in the ass now, right? Like, you knew this day was coming. We don't have, like, you know, people are out. You know, like, we don't have great backups. I know backups aren't usually the best players, but it's like, I don't know. I hated that move when we got Trey Lance to move up and got Trey Lance. I hated it, and I knew that would bite us eventually, and it's kind of happening now. What do you guys think?
Well, here's what I think.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Steve, you do?
Well, that's two players that you'd love to have that you don't have.
For sure, but that's a difficult line to draw directly from that to this. There's no two ways about it. That was a disastrous move.
I just think that you'd rather have two players, even if neither of the player was a really superstar player, at least you'd have two guys that you really liked that would be on this team that you don't have.
Right, but in theory, those guys would already be in. I mean, I don't. My point is that's not suddenly a thing if it wasn't already a thing.
Right.
It was already a thing.
And I think it was already a thing, and that's what I was saying back in September when I looked at this roster.
Very unfortunate move. And just because they were able to find a different quarterback in a different year in a different round does not mean that you don't feel the effects of that. It's a hellacious miss that the 49ers made, because it wasn't just one pick. It was a bucket full of picks. And so, yeah, there's no getting around that, but I don't suddenly think of it today and go, oh, now that these injuries have happened, now is when you're feeling that.
I've been thinking about it for a long time, going back to, you know, early September when it looked like the roster was not as deep as other rosters in the past, and part of it is because you don't have those first round picks. And luckily, or not luckily, because I don't think it's luck, I think it's scouting, but congrats to the Niners for having such a great draft this last year, because you've gotten six players to immediately step in and be a part of your 22-man starting roster. And think about if they would have had a mediocre draft, where this team would be if you didn't have Pooney or Green or Mustafa and, you know, Pearsall, and you want to run all the way through the list of guys who've come in and made an impact, you'd be in a real world of hurt. But because you had a good draft, that's offset it a little bit. But to me, you still would love to have had two first-round picks that would be in the building.
There's no way around that. And I mean, I don't know how y'all look at that. I've always said this. I bake that in to the thought about any draft or any team. They all have misses. And this one was a really, really bad one. But that's part of the deal, man. You got to swing sometimes, and sometimes you're really, really going to swing and miss. My only concern looking at a team in drafting players is if they're doing this consistently. And so that's why I've always sort of kind of puffed up a little bit when people start going after there's the Trey Lance thing, and then you didn't do offensive line, and you didn't do what we wanted here, and those third-round running backs, and damn it. And then on the other side of the fence is this unbelievable list of what the 49ers have done fourth round and later. Like, just plucking Pro Bowlers out of, you know, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round, Kittle, Greenlaw, Purdy, Fred Warner. We could go on and on and on. So, like, to me, I that's when I'm going to get on a team for doing what they do in the draft, is if they are consistently having misses. Outside of that, I think every team whiffs. Boy, every team that got a quarterback that whole year whiffed. That whole class was a whiff. I mean, even Trevor Lawrence was a whiff. What's he gonna do in Jacksonville?
Well, he got you to a playoff.
Great.
So, I mean, that's more than the other guys have done.
He's the best.
And he still has his job. Yeah.
Yeah, he's making $55 million a year. Have fun.
Right. Well, and
yeah,
you know,
not good enough for that.
We'll see how bad this injury is. And, you know, if it turns out to be worse than what all of us had thought, I wonder how that will affect what the 49ers look to do, not only now, but in the offseason. Because if Kyle Shanahan is not sure that he'll be ready to face the Bills on December 1st, and those are his words, he's not sure. So if you go loss-loss, and Arizona goes win-win, and they're 8-4, and you're 5-7, and now you're looking at it like, okay, now we're three back with five to play.
Yeah, you're toast.
Well, if you're toast. Maybe you're into shutdown mode. And if you're into shutting Brock down, if Brock might be ready on December 8th, and you're three games back with five to go, maybe at that point you think about shutting Brock down, and I wonder how that affects Brock's money going into the offseason. If he again has an injury and again he's not able to finish a season.
I'll look at it another way, which is, and I think this is actually a very realistic possibility, Niners could lose the next two games and still be one game out of first.
It's possible.
Very, very realistic possibility.
When I was laying that out, if Arizona plays Seattle and Minnesota,
yep,
those are not guarantees.
Both on the road.
Seattle's got Arizona and the Giants. And the Rams have a winnable and also a losable game in there.
Yeah. Well, the Rams play Sunday Night Football against Philly.
Right.
This weekend.
And then I do think that their other game, and I'm putting it up now, is against the Saints on the road. So that feels like it's pretty winnable.
Probable, but yeah, I don't even know with any of these teams.
Well, the point is, if all three of them go 1-1, then you're looking at, you know, Arizona would lose two, mm-hmm, and the Rams and Seahawks would also be 6-6, and you'd be 5-7. So you could be a game out of all three with five to go, and then, you know, Brock is coming back, and you've got a Chicago team that you will be favored against, and then you've got head-to-heads that can go your way.
I also want to read this. It comes from our friend and contributor late last night, Dr. Nirav Pandya. And I want to read this because I saw this, and this one resonated with me. And that was well before we knew for sure that Brock was out, even though I very much felt that yesterday. But listen to this. With regard to Brock Purdy's shoulder soreness, there are obviously multiple possibilities as to what the actual cause could be for pain. The larger issue is, anytime shoulder soreness presents in a throwing athlete with prior elbow surgery, it is something to watch closely. So, Doc is at least throwing out the possibility.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah. That this is a concern, not because of just this injury, but that it in some way is being either aggravated or pushed forward because of what Brock experienced in the offseason last year.
Yeah, and he actually reiterated that earlier today, talking about a combination of an injury in the same arm as a UCL reconstruction. And I asked him just quickly on Twitter about the internal brace procedure that Brock had, which is not Tommy John, but it's similar, where you put in an internal brace. Does that at all connect to the shoulder, which would then make the shoulder more vulnerable to that type of an injury? And we don't know what the shoulder injury is, if it's, you know, a labrum or a sprained AC joint, like you know, we saw with Jordan Mason. We don't know the nature of it, but the very nature of a shoulder injury where you already had an arm injury, that is trouble.
I'm going to make a prediction right now. And I don't know when this will come out, but it is my belief that we are going to hear that this injury did not take place in the game against Seattle.
Hmm.
I think that Brock Purdy's been dealing with this for, my guess would be, about 3 weeks. I've noticed that the 49ers will not say or act like they don't know when it happened. That's not true, by the way. They know exactly the second that Brock Purdy came to them and said something's not feeling right with the shoulder. Because even in games that he played well, let's take the fourth quarter, the second half against Tampa, where we all loved what Brock Purdy did. It has looked to me for about three games like the ball is floating. It looks like the zip is gone, even in passes that are close to the line of scrimmage, and his misses are high. Think about the Deebo Samuel throw over the middle.
Yep.
And then even think about some of the throws that we saw outside the numbers against Tampa Bay early in that game. He's missed high, and the ball, the throw that he likes to throw, tends to float a little bit more than what it normally does. So I'm not saying this as a doctor. I know nothing on this particular topic. Just a guess. Based on the way the ball's been coming out of his hands, I think Brock's been dealing with this for a few weeks.
Yeah, I would guess that he heard it on the touchdown dive last week when he dives with the ball on the left and he lands on the shoulder on the right. That, to me, is probably when it happened.
We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Not only are we still open to your calls, coming up next, got a Warrior game that's starting here in about an hour and a half. We'll let you hear everything Kyle Shanahan said today in this 3 o'clock hour. But next, we'll keep taking your calls. How does this affect your season outlook for the 49ers, the news that Brock Purdy and Nick Bosa will not play this weekend in Green Bay? 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.